If Jesus were standing here today, what do you suppose he would have to say to us? If Jesus were here and speaking to us, I would definitely want to hear whatever it was that he had to say. I believe it would be very important. And I think it's very important that we hear from heaven and not man. It's not really that important what I think or what you think, but what is really important is what thus saith the word of God. When God speaks, it is true. Something that we don't need to question, we just know that it is right. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, Romans 3 and 4, let God be true, but every man a liar. When God speaks, it is eternal. The scripture says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. When God speaks, worlds can come into existence. When God says, let there be light, then there is light. When God speaks, the dead can rise again. When he speaks, the deaf are healed and the lame walk again. The seas are calmed when God speaks. I think it's so important that we hear God's word. There's power there. It's eternal. It's life. When God speaks, it can change the situations of our lives that are troubling us so much. The song says, by the word of God, the worlds were made and are held in place by his commands. All the grasses wither and the flowers fade, but his truth forever stands. What is the word of God? Something that we cherish. The word of God came to Moses, and Moses shared that with the people. Let's read in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. Deuteronomy 4 and 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto judgments which I shall teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Moses said, ye shall not add unto the word. We shall not add to the word our own ideas, our own opinions. The word of God can stand on its own. And he says, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. We should not discredit God's word in any way. You think of Eve when Satan approached her. You know what he said? He said, did God say, thou shalt not eat of the fruit of the tree? What was he doing? He was discrediting the word of God. And Moses said to the people, don't take anything from what God said. So we have the word of the Lord that has come down through history. Luke 16 and 16 says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. So the word of the Lord came in the old days until John. Peter gives an insight into that in the 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. Second Peter 1 and 21. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So how do we get the word of God? It is not through man's ideas, man's will. It is through the moving of the Holy Ghost. I'd like to give an example in the Old Testament time of seeking the word of the Lord through the prophets, and that is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 3. Second Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 3, "And Ahab king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat king of Judah, Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people. And we will be with thee in the war. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together the prophets 400 men, and said unto them, Shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? Do you think the word of the Lord was valuable to those people? It impacted whether or not they would win the battle, whether or not the blessing of God was on the nation. There was a time that people wanted to make affiliation with the children of Israel, and the children of Israel did not inquire of the Lord. And those people came in and deceived the children of Israel and proved to be trouble to them for many generations to come. How important is it for us to seek the Lord? Isn't there a prophet of the Lord that we can inquire? Pretty important thing, whether or not we go into battle. There's a prospect of dying in battle. There's a prospect of the nation being overcome. Is it important that we know the word of the Lord? Well, back in the Old Testament time, the Lord spoke his word through the prophets and through the law. Inquire for the Lord, of the Lord for us. The law and the prophets were very important, do you believe? Do you think that was something that made a big difference in people's lives? I thought of the conversation between Abraham and his descendant when that rich man was in hell suffering. He communicated with his ancestor Abraham. Let's look in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 23. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Notice what Abraham told the rich man. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. That's what they had. They had the law of God. They had the prophets of God. Those things have weight. Why? Because it is the word of God. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. If we can just make it a little more dramatic, if we can get some personal witness, someone that says, I went there and this is what it's like, please don't go there, surely they will repent. Surely they will awaken. No. They have Moses and the prophets. They have the law and the prophets. That is all they need. there is enough conviction there. There is enough of God to be able to deal with men's souls through His Word. The Word of God is weighty. It is something of great authority. It's something that's going to judge us on the last day. And isn't it sad that our society is working so hard to eliminate the Word of God from our children, from our society at whole, and yet it is something that is so important to all of us. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. Galatians 3 and 24, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." So the law given in the Old Testament was something that was to teach us a spiritual foundation to bring us to the knowledge of Christ. It is something that was to point us to a better day. What would you consider to be the foundation of the law? I would consider that to be the Ten Commandments. So if we consider the Ten Commandments the foundation of the law, this is the Word of God. This is something that is so important and fundamental to our lives. Here in our government, we have a constitution. The constitution is like the foundation for the law of our country, both federal and state. There are plenty of other laws that far exceed the constitution in volume. Many, many laws, but all of them have to rest on the foundation of the constitution. Because if they conflict with the Constitution, they can be thrown out. So there is also a foundation of Old Testament law. And what is that? We find the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20 and 3 teaches us to have no other gods before the Lord. Let's take a look there. Exodus 20 and 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Commandment number 2, found in verse 4, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Commandment number 3, "Thou shalt not," verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Commandment 4, found in verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Commandment number 5 and verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Number 6, in verse 13, "Thou shalt not kill." Commandment 7, given in verse 14, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Commandment 8 is given in verse 15, "Thou shalt not steal." Commandment number 9 is given in verse 16, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." And the 10th commandment is found in verse 17, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." So, the foundation of the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ is talking about our relationship with God and our relationship with our fellow man. So, what if we had to summarize the entire Old Testament law, the Word of God in the Old Testament? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. Matthew 22 and 36, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And shall I say, on these two commandments was enough information for that rich man to have made it up into Abraham's bosom. But he chose in his lifetime to ignore the Word of God. The Word of God is so valuable. Well, we also have the New Covenant. We have the Old Testament law and we have a New Covenant. Let's go back to Luke chapter 16 and verse 16. Luke 16 and 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Since that time, more of the word of God has come. New light, higher standards. Luke chapter 4 and verse 22, all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? They marveled at the words that came out of his mouth, the word of God. And you remember when they went to arrest Jesus? The soldiers were sent to arrest Jesus, and they came back empty-handed, and they asked him, why didn't you bring the man? And they said, never a man spake like this man. There is something about the word of God that is powerful, that has an effect on men's hearts. Gracious words, words of life, words that are so valuable, words that we need to hear, not words of man, not opinions of man, not the hubbub of the world, but the word of God is something that we should treasure in our hearts. They bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, yet they rejected him. What more did they need? They had the law and the prophets. That was enough for the rich man to have made it to heaven. That's enough for many people, our ancestors, our spiritual heroes that made it to heaven. That was enough for them. What more did these folks need? They had the law and the prophets in Jesus' day, and they had the kingdom of heaven being preached to them. They really had the word of God then. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and 12. The word of God is quick. That means it is living. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks in the heart. And God's word will divide between the thoughts of our hearts, whether they are good or they are evil. Jesus looked on people and he knew the very thoughts of their heart. And he spoke the word that will judge them in that last day. The word of God is quick. It's alive. I was very interested in the Spanish Bible. Instead of using the term the word of God, it uses the verb of God. And I wondered about that. I think that's John, the first chapter. It's talking about the verb of God. And I was asking someone about that, and they were explaining to me it's something alive. I like that. The word of God is alive. There's something about it that we can open it up day after day and read in the word of God, and it becomes rich to our souls. It is life. It is food. It is something that sustains us. It is quick. It is powerful. It will divide between the things that will cause us to go astray and the things that will keep us on the road to heaven. The word of God. Do you value His Word today? I saw a bumper sticker many years ago that I really liked. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I think we should adopt that philosophy in life. A lot of people are rejecting God's Word. They're choosing other ways. They're following other religions. They're speaking other words, hard words, against the Word of God. But if God said it, and we believe it, then that can settle it for us, for our lives. We don't need to get all tied up in this world and its confusion. But instead, we can have our lives built on something that is solid. If any man hear my words and do them, I'll tell you who I'll liken him unto. He's like a man that has built his house on a solid rock. And when the storms of life come and the rains beat down, that man's house will stand. But if there is a man that rejects my words and chooses to go a different way, rejects the commandments, rejects the preaching of the kingdom of heaven, if there is a man that chooses the course of this world, I'll tell you who he's a man that's likened to. He's a man that's like one that built his house on the sand. And you know what? Storms come to people that build their house on the sand too. Storms of life and rain and discouraging times and losses and hurts come to those folks too. And their houses fall because it's not built on the Word of God. How much do we value the Word of God today? It is our foundation. It is our hope of eternal life. It is our sustenance through the troubles, through the storms of this life. The Word of God is something we should cherish into our hearts. That we should be like Mary and hide His words in our hearts. I've hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Well, we have the wonderful heritage of the Old Testament, the Old Testament covenant, the Word of God in the Old Testament. But we also have something even better, and that is the fulfillment of so many of those prophecies in the New Testament, the New Covenant, the Word of God. If you were to think about the foundation of the teaching of the kingdom of heaven, where would you go in the Bible? What part of the New Testament would give you the foundation of Jesus' teaching? Sermon on the Mount? I would agree with that. I believe that's it. Jesus was explaining to people, this is the new teaching. This is the fulfillment of those things that you have known and been taught all your life. Here it is. These are the things that Abraham and the prophets desired to look into, but you have been blessed to see them fulfilled. So what did Jesus teach in the Sermon on the Mount? He pronounced a blessing. He pronounced a blessing on the poor in spirit, on they that mourn. Now, the world tends to think the opposite, don't they? Blessed are those who are proud, those who are full of self-confidence, those who have achieved great things in life. Blessed are they. But Jesus came teaching something totally different that gave hope to the common man. Lord, what are you saying? These are gracious words. I'm in a difficult situation in life, Lord. I'm disadvantaged. Maybe I'm a Samaritan. Maybe I'm poor. Maybe I have a disease. And you're telling me I have hope? Oh, what gracious words. See, the words of God are valuable. They bring life. They bring hope. Jesus came pronouncing a blessing on people. Blessed are the poor in spirit, they that mourn, the meek. You mean you would choose him or her? Well, why don't we choose this person who has a more outgoing personality, or who has already achieved social success, who everybody esteems highly? Why don't we choose that person? Wait a minute. There is a blessing on the meek. Oh, I have hope now. The Lord has pronounced blessings. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they're going to be blessed in life. Oh, what gracious words. The merciful, the pure, the peacemakers, there are blessings on these people Jesus came teaching and preaching. What is the foundation of New Testament teaching? The foundation of the teaching of Jesus Christ. It was a higher standard. Jesus said, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Lord, what are you saying? These people are the religious leaders. They have been schooled in the law. They are educated. They have the respect of people. They control the synagogue. They are the ones that bring sacrifices. What are you saying? There's a higher standard than the way they're living? Yes, there is. Except your righteousness exceeds their righteousness, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is not enough anymore to comply outwardly, but you must comply from your heart, Jesus taught. Matthew 5:21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, "Thou shalt not kill." And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. It's not enough to restrain yourself to keep from killing your brother. You need to get that anger out of your heart, Jesus taught. Be reconciled to your brother, Jesus taught us. Do not put away your wife. Do not resist evil. Love your enemies. What a beautiful teaching. What a solution to world problems, to strife, to all the problems that our society faces. The Word of God. We should value it. We should endeavor to make it a part of our lives. Well, today we have the Law and the Prophets. We have that schoolmaster that they had to bring them to Christ. But we also have the fulfillment of them. We have the New Testament teachings. Do we value those things? What's the song say, "Oh, precious Bible"? Counsel for the soul, doesn't it? It's something that is so valuable to us, the Word of God. Here in this country, we have plenty of paper Bibles, don't we? We have them on our phones. We have them available to us. Probably have more than one Bible in the house. There have been people that have cherished a scrap of paper, that valued that. When we live in a land of abundance, when we have all these opportunities, it's so easy to take it for granted. But God, help us to value the Word of God. There have been people that have laid down their lives for the distribution of God's Word. There have been people that have committed their lives to the telling of God's Word. How much do we value it today? Is it a part of our lives? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. See, the inspiration of God is what counts. It's not my opinion. It's not your opinion. It's not flowery words, it is the inspiration of God. And when the inspiration of God is there, the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Very, very valuable. What more do we need than that? On judgment day, are we going to be able to say, Lord, I didn't know? No, you had the word of God. You had the law. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But Lord, and you, Doug, had the New Testament fulfillment word of God as well. I'll be without excuse, won't you? Lord, help us to value the word of God. What more do we need than what we already have? Do we need God to speak to us individually? Well, the church at Ephesus got an individual message. Let's look in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. Revelation 2 and 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. You've done some things very well. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I think if I had been at the church of Ephesus and the Lord sent his word to me saying, you've done well in all of these things, but there's one thing that you need. You've left your first love. I think I'd be begging God, God help me and bring me my first love back. You know, the word of God is valuable. This is what's going to judge us someday. What would the Lord say? Verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans were heretics. They taught that adultery and fornication were things of little consequence, and that eating meats to the idols was quite lawful. They mixed several pagan rites with Christian ceremonies. And you hate those things. That's good. But remember your first love. Verse 8, the word of God came to the church at Smyrna. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works. Do you think the Lord knows your works today? Do you think he knows my works? I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are in the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. An amazing report. And the word was, be faithful to death. You're going to go through some hard times, but just be faithful all the way to death. And to the church of God at Guthrie, what would the Lord say? What would he say to me? What would he say to you today? if Jesus were here and could speak to each one of us individually. I'd want to hear it, wouldn't you? Lord, speak to us. Talk to our hearts. What word do you have for us today, Lord? Do you value the Word of God? Is it precious to you? In the days of Eli, when Eli was the priest, high priest, it says the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. What a sad state of affairs. For people to long for the word of the Lord and not hear anything. How much do we value God's word? You know, just being in a setting like this is something very valuable. Not every country has this privilege. Thank God we have this in this country. Thank God for a free country. Thank you, Lord God. Thank God for the truth that has been taught to me and to you down through the years. Thank God for the examples that have gone before us, sharing the Word of God with us. Lord, help us to cling to the Word. Help us to love the Word of God. To the Church of God at Guthrie, what would it be if the Lord spoke today? I asked the Lord that question. And I believe He gave me three things. One is hold fast. Well, that's nothing new, is it? That's what He told the church back at Smyrna. But I believe that's what the Lord would say to us today. Hold fast. We've been through some hard times, haven't we? We've got some more hard times ahead of us. We don't know what life holds. But saints, I want to encourage you, hold fast. I believe that's what Jesus would say if He sent us a letter today. Number two, distance yourself from the world. Doesn't the Scripture say all the much more as you see the day approaching? As the day approaches, as the love of many is waxing cold, as iniquity is abounding, which direction should we be going? Should we be seeing how close we can get to the edge of the cliff? The cliff is crumbling. People are going off. God, help us to distance ourselves from the world. Even in some things we may consider lawful, put a greater distance between ourselves and this sinful world and the things that can discourage us and bring us down. You know, there's only so much of this world's burdens that you and I can handle. God, help us to put some distance between us and the world. And number three, time is running out. I think we already knew that, didn't we? But here's the thing. While we're alive, it kind of seems like we're going to live forever. It seems like our death is just... No, that happens to other people. That happens to old people. I have a hard time considering myself old. But there are people my age who have died already. Or younger. Time is running out. Whatever we're going to do, Lord, help us to get a sense of urgency that we do that for the Lord. Oh God, help us to cherish Your Word. Help us to realize that we're going to stand and be judged by the Word of God someday. Not our opinions of what we can do and get away with and how close to the world and why did the saints teach this. Our opinions about all that is not what's going to judge us someday. It's going to be the Word of God. And I am so thankful it is so solid, that it's so eternal, that we can rest our eternal souls on the Word of God. May God bless you today.